people have trouble with the authority of God. Mankind has always wanted to disobey. Mankind has always thought that we know better. That started with Eve and Adam and has continued on to this very day, even to us. And as Mark shared in the communion meditation, it is hard sometimes to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's largely because we really don't obey the first commandment. Think about it. We really don't, do we? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. None of us do that. And there's the rub. And we shouldn't feel too guilty because everybody, that's true of everyone, and it's been true of every human being from the beginning. But that's what we're to strive to do, is to love God. And when we love, as Mark pointed out, as we love God, He helps us to love one another. And a lot of people, you know, are loving people and they care about people, and all the devastation that's here in this country right now, people are getting, you know, rallying around them and providing help and so forth, and all of that's wonderful, but not one person is doing it out of a sense of perfection or perfect love. And even the Christians are not all doing it out of a sense of perfect love. But one of the things that we do as Christians is we do things out of love for other people in the name of God. Because we have a message to share. You know, everybody dies. Everybody. And so the question is never going to be asked, well, how well fed were they? Or how well protected were they? Were they happy in life? Did they have all that they wanted? Now, the question is always going to be one question. Did they know Jesus? Did they follow Jesus? That's what it comes down to. Now, you can be religious all you want, but if we're not following the Lord, then religion is of no value. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, Jesus has returned to Jerusalem. It's a Tuesday. You know, he cleansed the temple the day before. And now the religious leaders confront him. It says, they arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. Now notice, as I said last week, the temple was huge. And so as he's walking in the outer court, which is gigantic, the big guns come out. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders. I mean, we're talking here quite a crowd. And they come to Jesus and ask, by what authority are you doing these things? And they couldn't stop him the day before. And now they come again. And they've bugged him for over 3 years, seeking to trip him up, seeking what his authority is. And now, you know, they just want to nail him to the wall if they can because they hate him so much. And isn't it interesting that Jesus never asked them to do anything that was difficult? He never forced them to do anything. Jesus never lifted a gun, a spear, a knife, and said, you know, do this or else. But what he did was he taught. He taught what the Father wants them and all of us to know, to believe and to trust and obey. And then it's up to us. It's always up to us to whether we want to obey or not. It comes down to the heart. What do I want, and am I willing to follow through? The religious leaders did not. They liked their position. They liked to be able to come up with their own rules. They liked the power over people. They liked the influence. They liked the respect that they got from the Roman Empire. because they were recognized as leaders, and so you keep your people under control and we will favor you. And they were afraid of losing all of that. Their concern for obeying God was nil. Oh, they could, you know, do a good talk, but their heart wasn't with God. Even Jesus had told them, "Your heart is far from me." Why? Because their religion was about themselves, about what they wanted and their power. And so they want to know, why are you useless? Who gave you authority to do what you're doing? And so Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves. Now, isn't that sad? Here are all the big shots of the Jewish faith, and they had to talk it over. Councils are a joke. Councils that have been held through the centuries, when it comes right down to it, have not truly respected the Word of God because they keep wanting to reject what they don't want to believe. And to enforce upon people that which God has not demanded. And so they talked among themselves and said, "If we say John's baptism was from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men," and they kind of left it hanging, "they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet." Isn't that amazing? The people, you know, who heard John and saw John, believed he was a prophet. But the religious leaders would not believe it. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." And I'm sure he turned and walked away and left them standing there with their mouths open. People are always questioning Jesus' authority. Who is Jesus to tell me what to do? Who is Jesus to tell me his way is the only way? And even Christians will say, "Well, I know Jesus said this. I know the Bible says this, but I don't agree with him. So I'm going to do it my way. I know what the Scripture says, but, you know, modern science says this. And so I got to go with modern science." Always questioning God's authority. Afraid to really obey God. And why? Because the love of God is not in their hearts. Whether they call themselves Christians or not, the love of God that's supposed to be first and foremost is not there. Love of self is in its place. And that's been man's problem through the centuries. But I find it fascinating here, the reality that Jesus does not need to defend his authority. He doesn't defend it. He doesn't need to. Why? Because he's Almighty God. God is the judge. God has set the rules. He's laid them out for us in his word. And he says, "Trust and obey me." And at the end of Matthew, Jesus said, "Teach them to obey all I've commanded you." That's pretty simple. But just like Eve, people twist the truth and then believe what they want to believe and think God is okay with that. But we forget this Almighty God who could stop a hurricane with one word has the power to cast people into hell because they did not believe him. See, sometimes we think too little of God. God's just this nice guy out there just to answer my prayers when I need some help, just like a genie. But God is God, and he controls the vast universe. And Scripture tells us that one day when the time is up, even the stars in the vast universe will disappear. It's all going to go by the wayside. Why? Because God's going to recreate everything. You know, it's just like the Christmas tree. You know, it's fun to put up the Christmas tree, isn't it? Put the lights on, put the ornaments on. Of course, as you get older, it's more like work. But, you know, but once it's up, oh, it's beautiful to look at. But by the time you're into the month of January, it's time to get on with the new year. And somehow that tree just doesn't look as exciting as it did the previous month. And so the work of taking it down and realizing, oh, I can't quite get the things back in the box they came out of. You know, so you get different boxes. Well, in a way, that's the way God is looking at His creation. Once the purpose of His creation, that's us, once the number of people that are going to fill the new earth that He's creating, once He brings this world to an end, it's time to redecorate. It's time to redo. It's time to renew all things. And this God who has the power and the wisdom to do all of that and create a new world for us that will be unlike this one, with bodies for us that will be unlike our present bodies, this God who can change us in the twinkling of an eye, this God who will shout and all the dead will rise all at once, this God with such power makes the rules. And this God who makes the rules is the judge, and this judge is righteous. That means there is no corruption in Him. And it isn't amazing how corrupt human beings, sinful human beings, want God to be corrupt. Don't we? Oh, well, you know, there are so many people who don't follow Jesus, but surely He won't cast them to hell. And God says, everybody's going to hell. I sent my Son to rescue. And then you're telling me to just ignore it all and accept the sin. You see, people want God to be corrupt. Because if God's corrupt, well, then I'm okay. But God is not corrupt. There's neither darkness in Him in any way, not a shadow. And so He doesn't need to defend His authority. Because He is God. I look at the things that have been going on in our world, all the floods and the hurricane, of course, all the major fires. There has been a huge flood in the east, Myanmar and China, Thailand, massive devastation, worse than what we're seeing here. Whole villages wiped out, many people killed. We don't see that in the news, but that's what's happening. In this very day. And this God who is greater than all of this, you know, is what we need to be pointing people to. But we, just like the Pharisees, we like to sidestep the issue and say, oh yeah, look what's going on. Boy, I don't know. Maybe it is climate change. Because it's always been climate change. But we forget that even the reason for death is to remind those of the living that life is short and we need Jesus. The things that go on are to remind us we do not live in a perfect world. We are not the gods of this world. We need the God of this world. We suffer. We get sick. We contract diseases. We have relationship problems. We have financial problems. All these are to remind us that we need God's grace and we need to follow Him. We cannot save ourselves. And I don't care how good any power in this world might be, it is nothing compared to what God is and what God can give. Because no army can protect you or me from dying. At some point we're going to die. Nothing, anything an army can do. Just like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. You know? We're Humpty Dumpty, but all the king's men and all the king's horses can't put us back together again. But only Jesus can preserve us from falling. And so it's easy for us as Christians to sidestep Jesus. Now, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anyone to think we're weird if we speak out about people's need for God and how messed up this world is. And we can't save this world. One, because we can't destroy it. We don't have the power. to destroy this world. As Mark and I were talking yesterday, we can pollute it, yeah, but we can't destroy it. God's built within this world its own cleansing power. But what this world can't change is the hearts and minds of people. I'm amazed at the evil in the hearts of men, where people think that if someone doesn't get your eggs to you on time, a proper solution is to kill the cook. I mean, what's wrong? And we can sit back and say, oh, isn't that a shame? We need to control guns. But the reality is God's people need to speak up and say, people need Jesus. People need to repent. People need to turn from evil and embrace that which is good, and that is God. You can legislate many things, but you can't legislate against evil, really. You can't change people's hearts by law. Yeah, the Old Testament's proof of that. You can't legislate love, because love, to be love, must be given freely. And it must come from the heart. And you know what? The only one who can fight evil and fill us with love is God. And so Jesus, he had no use for those religious leaders because they didn't believe him. They didn't like how he challenged them. You know, Jesus never once challenged them on anything from Scripture that they obeyed. He challenged them frequently on their traditions that nullified the Word of God. And to this very day, religious people still do the same thing. Oh, well, this is the way we see it. I know that's what God's Word says, but that was then and this is now. And God says, well, the choice is yours. But remember, I'm the judge. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we do great things in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Be gone, you evildoers. Why? Because they're content to be religious within themselves and not believing and trusting God. Yeah, when people are afraid and refuse to follow Jesus and refuse to speak out, and that is a faithless dilemma. What do I do? What do I say? And the easy thing is just to sidestep it. But sidestepping is faithlessness. If we really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, then it's time we start saying that and saying it frequently. If we truly believe there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved, if we really believe that, then we better start saying it. If we believe that everyone should believe everything Jesus has commanded, even to the end of the age, then we better start learning it and teaching it. But if we prefer to sidestep it, then that's just faithlessness. We must look within ourselves. Because that's what Satan wants us to do, is get comfortable and think about self and not think about how deep God's love is for us and for everyone, if only they will come to Christ. Let us not be faithless. Let us not look at things as a dilemma, but let us be faithful and speak the truth in love, that all may hear and that we ourselves may grow and be increasingly useful to the Holy Spirit. Right now, we're going to sing a song called Take My Life and Let It Be. And that's a challenging song because, well, Lord, I don't want you to take my life. I don't really want to do what you want me to do. And if that's the case, then don't sing this. But if it's a plea to Lord, plea to the Lord, please help me, Lord, to be what you want me to be. Help me to be bold, lovingly bold, as you want me to be. Help me to trust you and to obey you increasingly. Help me to do that, because I can't do it myself. That's why we sing, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I can't do it myself, but I need Your help, and I need the help of Your Spirit. I need the help of Your Word. I need the help of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, please take my life and let it be truly consecrated to Thee. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing. We're going to sing three verses.